Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, the game. And hey, later today, tune in to Stillman & Company live from Radio Row in Phoenix, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Hal Gill joins the show now. Hal, appreciate you joining us. That was a bad game for the Predators last night. 6 shots through 2 periods, 17 shots, season low on the game as a whole. Lost to Vegas 5-1 last night. Where do the Preds go from here, Hal?
That is a tough question. That was a bad one. That was
gross.
You know what? It's one thing to be rusty. It's just, you know, and I've been there. You take time off, and the first game you come back, you just want to keep it simple, and you just want to, like, get your feet wet, right? Get your feet moving. Move the puck quick. Don't make any risky plays. And I just feel like it snowballed on them, and it snowballed quick. You know, they had that first goal, beautiful goal from, you know, Josi to Duchene. You're like, okay, this is going to come around. The Preds are there. And then it just fell apart from there. So, you know, there's two ways to look at it. We're not the team we were. The other way to look at it, before the break, don't forget, the 3 games, they look good. I felt like they were building on something. So you can say, okay, we're not that team. Or you can look at it as like, okay, that was a little blip, and we kind of forgot our identity. And personally, if I was on that team, I'd be ready to go. I practiced today, and I would double down on it, and I would make sure that I was ready to go in Philadelphia. And you have a couple days here to get your mind right and then go into Philadelphia, a team that you should be able to win that game, and you're desperate to win that game. And then after that, you come back, Arizona, you should win that game, and then you're right back into it. So as much as the initial panic of, oh, we're not that team, we're not the team we thought we were, I think there's a little bit of glimmer of hope that, okay, it was one blip and we can get it back, and then we can start to build the way we were.
And I don't think that 6 shots through 2 periods is what this team is. And we've seen it right before the break. Those 3 games, offense looked better. You were getting production from your top scorers. But I look at it like it's almost like a trend, like a cycle with this team all season long, where you have a clunker like you had in St. Louis a few weeks ago. You come back, you look good, you win a few games, and then it's another clunker, and you win a couple, or lose a couple, you win a couple, you lose a couple, you win a couple. It's almost like a constant cycle with this team, and I don't know if you can make the playoffs from where this team, the outlook of where it is right now, if that cycle continues. And David Poile has shown that's a priority of his, is making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, but I disagree with the context that you're putting it in, because if you look at their last 20 games or so, they're a winning team, and by a large margin. And there's some clunkers in there, like that's going to happen. I always said when I was playing, if you don't lose 2 games in a row ever, things are going to work out. You know, like, and the Preds have been that team for the last 20 games, I guess, where they're, you know, they'll win 2, lose 1, win 3, lose 1. You know, like, that's kind of been their rhythm, and you can look at it as clunkers, but in the end, if they're a winning record after 10 games, you know, and we always broke it down to five game segments, and if you win 3 and lose 2, that's a winning record, and you're building on something. If you win 4, then you're really building on something. And it's a fine line, right? I mean, it's one hiccup in those games, and it changes around. So I think the Preds were building on something, and they have something there. It's just a matter of finding that consistency. So, yeah, there's some shock and awe after losing that game because that was ugly, but you know, like I said, those practice days, you get back to it, and then you win, you know, you win in Philly, you win against Arizona, and now you're 2-1 after the break, and it's a quick turnaround.
Hal Gill is with us. And Hal, you've been in many locker rooms at different teams, handle it different ways, but what did you find was the best tonic when everybody arrives for that next practice, whether it's the next day or after a day off or whatever, when you have a clunker like that, who sets the tone? Who sets the tone, and how does it go? Is it lighthearted? Is it, you know, all business or somewhere in between? What? How do you work it?
It's funny because every team has their own feel. You know that, Willie. Every team has their own feel and their, you know, what makes them tick. I've been on teams. My first year in the league, I was with Pat Burns, and if we lost the game, there was no music in the locker room. There was no smiling in the locker room. It was the next day was miserable, and you went out to work, and you didn't smile until you got the win the next game. Like, that was – it was doom and gloom, and you worked. And, and there'd be fights in practice because losing was unacceptable. The game's changed, obviously, since then. Thank God, because it was stressful. And now, I had – Dan Bylsma was my coach. We got in Pittsburgh. We got beat up pretty good, and we're all doom and gloom the next day, ready to get beat up. And he ran through the room and full skates on, ready to go out on the ice, like 15 minutes before practice. And I remember him yelling, "Free ice, boys! We got free ice!" And if you're a kid that grew up playing hockey and there was no one on the ice before you, you were excited to get on the ice. We got a chance, free ice. You only have your hour time slot, but we got an extra 15 minutes of free ice before, so let's go out there and play. And so that was the spectrum. You have to find out what makes your team tick. If you can get out on the ice early and feel good about it, and, hey, we're going to go work on things, but we're going to have fun doing it, I think that's the right mix. Hey, everyone took a beating last night. We get a chance to turn it around by working hard in practice and getting out there early and staying out there late and having fun getting better and working at it together. So I think, the leadership, Roman Josi is like, when's the last time you saw Roman Josi have a couple plays like that? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It was flukish stuff. And so I'm sure he's going to be the first guy. I know Yost. He's going to be the first guy out there. That's not acceptable. I'm not going to hold my head down. I'm going to go out and work, and we're going to work in practice. We're going to work together, and we're going to figure this out.
You hear coaches a lot of times, and I hear John Hines say this a lot, puck decisions. So tell us what that entails for you. There's all kinds of examples that happen on the ice, but these decisions are made – in a fraction of a second, but the teams that make too many, there's mistakes all over the ice, but the team that makes the fewest often is the one that wins. But when you hear puck decisions, what comes to mind? Because that was obviously a problem with a lot of other things last night.
Yeah, I think, I go back to the first game after break, your puck decisions have to be solid. You got to move the puck quick. You got to move it hard. There's no room early in a game after you've been off for 11 days. There's no room for, hey, I'm going to try to throw a little backhand sauce and try to hit this guy up the middle. And, you want to be focused on the details. And I think that goes into puck decisions. There's too many times where they lackadaisical plays. You got to get rid of those. Until you get your rhythm, eventually you get your feet under you and you get going, and then you just get into a routine where you just bang, 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 and you're breaking it out. But until you get to that rhythm, you have to make sound decisions, and a lot of times that's, playing on the defensive side. I think the Preds, in that first period, they put themselves in the position where they could give counters back, and Vegas is a good counter team, and I give them a lot of credit because every chance they got, they turned it right back. If the Preds turned it over, they were coming back hard. And that's the way they play. And so I think looking at it as a Preds point of view, eliminate those chances. Get the puck, move it. Not necessarily make the safe plays, but make the right plays hard. And I think that's puck management and making sure that you're protecting the puck and playing underneath it. You don't let anyone behind you. All this. The simple basic rules. Terry Crisp could tell you all about it. Head on a swivel.
Big time.
Make sure you're right. I mean,
the crispyisms. So
yes, it's all.
I love
it's all the basics. And you know what? We always laugh about it, but That's how you win. When times are hard, when times are great, players are great. They make plays. Let them go out and make plays. But when times are hard, you got to go back to the details. And I think that's what they missed out on a little bit in that first period.
Hal Gill, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next
Thank
week.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Always
you.
A pleasure, Hal. Appreciate
Cheers.
You. Coming up next, we know that the Titans have elevated Tim Kelly from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator, but there were other moves as well. What does that mean for this team? And what does it mean for those individual coaches also? I think it's a little bit confusing. We'll try and rationalize coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace 102.5, 106.3 The Game.